Absolutely amazing. Listen, we've got a lot to celebrate around here as a church room. I said that earlier. You'll notice the ice cream station out in the middle of the atrium today, the big 100 over the top of it. That signifies this past week, actually, we crossed 100 baptisms as a campus here for the year. 100 baptisms already this year. People that have trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior and gone public with that profession of faith. And so you're going to have a choice to make when you leave here today. They've got that ice cream and root beer floats out there in the atrium, and you're going to have to choose. Are you going to eat ice cream in this moment of celebration before lunch or not? Right? You've got a choice. Are you going to spoil the lunch or not? And listen, all right, it's just one of many choices you'll make today. You've already made several. You made the choice to be here. We're thankful for that. You made the choice on breakfast. You made the choice on coffee and what to put in your coffee. You made the choice about where you were going to park out there and where you were going to sit, right? You made the choice about what you were going to wear. And some of you thought about that a lot harder than other people thought about that. I know how that goes, right? Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy. All right, have you seen his stance on clothes? He wears the same thing every day. And when asked why, he says it's so I don't run into decision fatigue. I don't want to have to make that choice too, because he realizes we make a lot of choices every day. Do you know that studies show you make about 35,000 choices a day? 35,000. Some are hard. They take a lot of brain power and energy. Some aren't, right? And you just sort of do it without even thinking about it. Some choices are good choices, and some choices are bad choices. And here's the deal. This morning, we're going to be in God's Word. If you've got your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 1. Join me there. And just know that as we look, we're going to see in God's Word that we have a choice to make. We have a daily choice to make, and it matters much more than what we wear, what we put in our coffee. This is a choice that is going to transform us. It is going to make us and build us and shape us in one direction or another. It's a choice that's going to give us a happy life and a blessed life or not. And knowing that, this choice should be an easy choice. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1 and make sure that we all make the right one. Psalm 1, verse 1 says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. If we were to sum up these four verses in one sentence, here it is. A blessed life or a happy life comes through delighting in the words of God. Look at the very first word of verse 1. It's actually the first word of the entire book of Psalms. I love this. It's blessed. Right, that means happy, it means joyful, it means this deep sense of contentment in our hearts, and that's something that we all want, right? And we find quotes and there's songs in our culture and all through history that shows us that our hearts are after, that we desire this happiness in our lives. Taylor Swift, she came through Houston not too long ago. Did anybody go? A few of you, anybody make the t-shirt? It's a safe place, you guys can, we can talk about that, right? Taylor Swift, here's her quote: My ultimate goal is to end up being happy. Read that, I think, well, maybe she's not there yet. Listen, people want happiness, and make no mistake, happiness is a gift from God. You don't just end up that way. It's something that God desires for us to experience, and he tells us that happiness is available in him. Every time in the Bible we see a person that is described as happy or blessed, it is a person that is in a relationship with God. Don't miss that, right? Happiness isn't just something we go out and search for. It's not something that we discover off on a journey. In fact, there are a bunch of people that have made an absolute mess of their lives searching for happiness in places that they will never find it. True happiness is a gift from God, and it's found only in a relationship with him. I love what Randy Alcorn says in his book called Happiness. He writes this: I've studied more than 2,700 passages of Scripture where words such as joy, happiness, gladness, merriment, pleasure, celebration, cheer, laughter, delight, jubilation, exaltation, and celebration are used. And when you add in the words blessed and blessing, which connote happiness, the number increases. God is clear that seeking happiness in him is good and right. That's the key. Happiness in God. And he shows us clearly in Psalm chapter 1, these first few verses, that it comes down to decisions. It comes down to the choices that we make. And if you're taking notes today, our first point is this: for a blessed life, for a happy life, we must first say no to the influence of the world. That's verse 1. Look at it. Blessed is the man who walks not with the wicked, or stands with the sinners, or sits with the scoffers. Look at verse 1. If your Bible's open, get your eyes on it and just think about how this is written. There's a reason it's written this way. It could say, don't stand with the wicked, don't stand with the sinners, and don't stand with the scoffers. But it doesn't. It doesn't write it that way. And it's because the contrast isn't wickedness versus righteousness. The contrast here that we are pointed to is influence. It's being shaped and transformed by the world, or shaped and transformed by God, specifically the words of God. And in verse 1, we clearly learn that we must know when to say no. Biblical wisdom, we see, has just as much to do with what we say no to and what we avoid as it does what we say yes to. Look at verse 1, right? As followers of Jesus, desiring to live out his word, seeking to live a blessed and happy life in a relationship with him, we see we have to say no to sin. And look, that there's a progression to sin in our world that would be very wise for us to notice. It says we've got to refuse to walk with the wicked, stand with the sinner, or sit with the scoffer. Walking, then standing, and then sitting. Notice, it's like a downward spiral. Away from God and into the patterns of this world. Think about walking with the wicked. Walking gives us this picture of movement, right? Walking is passing through. Walking could be quick, it could be slow, but it's constant movement, right? Walking in verse 1 here connotes a simple or a casual association. But when you walk with the wicked, look verse 2, or the second part of this verse 1. It goes from walking to standing. That's a little bit different, right? Standing means that a person has stopped in the midst of those that oppose God. They're hanging out, that they're stationary there with sinners whose pattern of life does not honor God, with people who have decided that their way of life is more important than God's way of life. And from standing, look at the progression. The next step is sitting. It shows a person going all in and planting their flag among people who are actively mocking the things of God. Right? You see how sin in this world works. It's through influence. It's in baby steps. No one jumps up and says, hey, save me a seat with all of the scoffers. This is a slow fade that happens in people's lives. It's a slippery slope, and it happens through influence. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Influence. We tell our kids all the time, show me your friends, I will show you your future. Influence. It builds us. It matters who we walk with, because eventually we'll stand with them. And if we stop and stand for a little while, we'll take a seat. This verse reminds us to make sure that we are sitting in the right one. Think about this. I'm sure that you've never raised your hand and said, you know what, today I'd love to be shaped by the sinful patterns of the world around me. But too often, when we're not careful, that's exactly what we allow to happen to us. Just think about influence in your life for a minute. What are the major factors around you that influence you on a regular basis? Just, there's a million examples we could go to, but just think about media for a minute. Think about what comes in through your eyes and through your ears into your minds and hearts. Maybe it's TV or YouTube or movies or music, books, magazines, articles, social media. That stuff gets into our minds and it begins to shape us, right? You've got countless examples of that. We've got a great example of that in our house the past few weeks. We allowed our kids to watch one of the best baseball movies of all time, The Sandlot, right? It's an oldie, but it's a goodie, and they loved it, right? That they love baseball, and they were all about it. And one of our kids, if you know our family, you can guess exactly which one of our kids. He loved the catcher in The Sandlot. He was the big kid that hit the home runs. They called this catcher Ham. That was his nickname. He was hilarious. He's the one that talked trash to the batters and had the your mama jokes and all of that. He's the one that famously said, you play ball like a girl. He's the one that said, you're killing me, Smalls. That's on t-shirts nowadays. Listen, that stuff, it gets into our minds. It gets into our hearts and it comes out of us. I cannot tell you how many times one of my kids has yelled at another kid in our home this week, you are killing me, Smalls. What goes in comes out. It shapes us. It forms us. It transforms us. Not just our kids, by the way. You and me too. Well, we need to be very, very aware of whose table we're sitting at when we turn on the TV, whose table we're sitting at when we get online, whose table we're sitting at when we associate with the people around us. And media is just one example. There's plenty, plenty others. So yeah, listen, we might not ever raise our hand and say, hey, save me a spot at the table with the people that are actively mocking God. But if we are not careful, this verse tells us that we will end up there. So take an honest assessment of your life this morning and just ask yourself, man, what's building me? What's building my heart? What's building my mind? Verse 1, walk, stand, and sit. There's a progression of worldly influence, and if we don't say no, it will draw us away from God. Verse 1 tells us that blessing, that happiness comes when we're able to say no to those influences. And listen, I'm sure there's more than a couple of people in here that are thinking, hey, this sounds a little legalistic, right? Where we're talking about what we say no to. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what? I'm a little bit more mature. I'm a little bit older. I can handle that. I can watch this. I can go there. I can say that. Listen, I'm just telling you, if you're thinking that, do not ignore God's word here. Influence in your life matters, right? Saying no to things that go against the word of God, that's not legalism. That is common sense, and that is godly wisdom. James chapter 4, verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? That is active opposition towards God. This verse tells us for a blessed and a happy life, we have to stop writing off things that are clearly ungodly as no big deal. We have to be ready, willing, and able to say, no, I won't walk, stand, or sit with the ungodly. And our only hope in doing that, our only hope in saying no to the pleasures of this world is by taking pleasure in the word of God, right? We can't just be good at saying no. We have to say yes. Verse 2 tells us for that blessed life and happy life, we have to delight in the words of God. Look at it, right? Blessed is the man that doesn't walk, stand, or sit with the sinners, but instead his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night as we seek, as we choose the right influences in our life. Here it is. It's the law of the Lord. The blessed person, the happy person, finds their delight right here. Think for a minute about all of the things in your life that you delight in. The things that you reflect on fondly, the things that as your mind it drifts off in a daydream that you think about and make you smile, that's what you delight in. A few weeks ago, because of that same movie, my 7-year-old wanted a birthday party, Sandlot style. He just wanted to go to the neighborhood park and play baseball with all of his buddies, and that's what we did, and I delighted in that, right? I loved that. I loved the smiles. I loved the laughter. I loved the fun. I loved everything about it. I went to sleep that night thinking and smiling about the incredible day my kid had. I woke up the next morning, and I thought about it. That's finding delight in something, and God's word here tells us that that's how we're supposed to view this. We're supposed to find delight in this, take pleasure in this, find joy in this. We're supposed to be thinking about this long after we put it back down. This is a joy. It's not a burden, right? This is the pathway. This is the choice that brings blessing and happiness to our lives. The mark of a happy person, it's right here in the text, delights in the word of God. The question this morning is, does the word of God make you happy? Do you find joy and life in the word of God? Do you think about it? Do you ponder it? Do you smile as you remember what you've read? Do you think about it long after you put it down? Because that's what we're called to do right here. And if that's not you this morning, do not be discouraged, right? Don't be discouraged. It absolutely can be. It's very possible that the reason you might not find joy in it is just because right now you desire other things more. Maybe it's sleep. Maybe you'd rather be scrolling on a phone or watching TV. And let me just say that if you were to read through the Psalms, you'd see several instances where the psalmist writes from a place where they feel distant or far from God, where they don't feel like they are growing in their love relationship with the Father. And if you read those psalms, you'll see that the answer is the same every time, right? That relationship is rekindled, reignited through prayer and through intentionality. So this morning, if you'd say, I don't know that I delight in the Word of God, let me encourage you, pray. Let your action step from today, right? Your application from today's Word be prayer constantly. God, grow my desire for your Word. God, grow my delight in your Word in my heart. Pray and then read the Word of God and just trust. Trust that your heart is going to continue to grow and develop an appetite for what God has called you to love. And listen, you're never going to delight. You're never going to delight in the Word of God if you don't read the Word of God. Delight in His Word. And notice in verse 2, there's a progression here. Just like worldly influence, walk, stand, sit, we see that with godly influence, from delighting to meditating. The original language, meditation means to speak or to mutter. Right? To talk to ourselves. Meditating would be to speak the Word of God to ourselves, right? Over and over and over again. Again, this is about influence, choosing the right one, because what goes into us is going to come out of us. As we delight in the Word of God, as we take it in, it's going to flow from our heart into every situation of our lives as we speak His Word over and over to ourselves. What does that look like? You might be thinking and wondering, okay, if I delight in the Word and I meditate on the Word, it means I'm talking to myself on a regular basis. Is that weird? No, that's okay, right? Talk to yourself. And the best way that I can describe it is to just sort of tell you what that looks like in my life, right? When I speak the Word of God to myself and many of the situations that I face in life, listen, when I'm anxious, and this week when I was anxious and worried about certain situations, I spoke the Word of God to my life. I spoke Philippians chapter 4. Where God's word says, the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And then look at the next verse. Look what it says. It says, and then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That is preaching, speaking the Word of God to myself in that situation. That's meditating on God's word. When I'm fearful, when I'm scared, man, I think about Psalm 56:3, and I speak that to myself. Lord, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I memorized that when I was like 6 or 7, and I was scared of everything all the time, right? My parents led me to memorize the Word of God and repeat that back to myself. But when I'm angry or when I'm frustrated, I think about James chapter 1 that says, be slow to speak and slow to become angry. And I'm tempted. I speak God's word from Matthew 4. Where Jesus looks at the tempter and says, listen, man, it doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I have to speak that to myself. When I'm driving in Houston traffic and people around me are crazy, I speak Psalm 64:7 to myself that says, but God will shoot them with an arrow and suddenly they'll be wounded. I don't use that one much. But listen, that's meditating on the Word of God, right? Meditating is to speak it. It's not just to think about it or ponder it and dwell on it. Yeah, that's good. But meditating on the Word of God is speaking the Word of God to ourselves. It's reminding ourselves of God's truth and God's character in every situation that we face. And so as we read verse 2 here, delight in the Word of God, we see that should be what is influencing us and shaping us. We should be speaking it to ourselves in all things. That's it. And God's word here in verses 1 and 2 say that blessing and happiness come to our lives in a relationship with God as we delight in His word. And again, you won't delight in it unless you read it. I spent a lot of time this morning. I've used a lot of words to simply say this. Choose the right influence. Make sure that you are being built up by the Word of God. And before we move to verses 3 and 4, let me just give you one very practical reality when it comes to reading and meditating on the Word of God. If that's not your pattern and you desire it to be, and my prayer is that when we're done here, you would desire for that to be the pattern of your life. I want to encourage you to form that habit with other people. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Listen, people that study behavior and relationships, they'll tell you that you're 2/3 more likely to succeed in something if you have relationships in your life that are modeling and encouraging what you're after. So if you're serious about the Word of God, delighting and meditating on it, and you should be, and find someone today and say, hey, listen, this hasn't been my pattern, but I want it to be. Well, will you help me? Well, will you read this with me? Will you talk about this with me? And if you're not sure where to start, start in Psalms chapter 1. That's what we're reading this morning, and we're going to be in Psalms this summer. So just read a psalm or two per day and speak God's word into your heart and allow it to transform you, right? For a blessed life, verses 1 and 2, we have the plan. Don't be influenced by the world. Yes, be influenced by the word of God. And just know, you've got a choice. Whatever influence you choose is going to transform you. And verses 3 and 4 give us a visual of that transformation. Verses 3 and 4 give us a picture of what will be, depending on what we choose. And that picture is given to foster a desire in us for the Word of God, but not just a desire, that picture is given to help us solidify that we are making the right decision and allowing the Word of God to transform us. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says this. The one that says no to the world and yes to the word of God, that person, verse 3, is like a tree planted by streams of water. They yield fruit in season, their leaves do not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. This is the verse 1 people that walk and stand and then sit with the patterns of this world. They're not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. A tree planted by streams of water. That's the picture, and the water matters, right? Because the water is life to the tree in the same way that the words of God are life to you and to me. And water's a big deal. Have you noticed that it's hot around here recently? I was sweating when I walked in. I don't know about you. Car to the front door, and it was even hotter in West Texas this week. I saw one city that registered 121 degrees on Friday. Can't imagine. Right, but listen, there's trees out there that are growing and green and thriving even in the midst of that heat. Look at this picture. Right, this is West Texas. West Texas trees, and these roots are always connected to the water, to the stream of life, that they are soaking up the water. No matter how hot it gets outside in the Texas summer, they are strong and they are healthy. Those trees look good. Right, that's different than a lot of the plants in my yard, right? Chelsea's not in here. Y'all don't run and tell her this, but sometimes after it rains, I'll run in, I'll turn the sprinkler system off to save money for a few days, and I'll leave it off until I see the flowers in the front yard beginning to droop a little bit, until I see the leaves beginning to wither. And when they do, I rush inside and I turn it on and I make sure that they get more water. That's two very different approaches. One is constant water flowing to the plants, and the other is inconsistent and infrequent water. One keeps the plant strong and healthy and vibrant and alive, and one simply doesn't. And here's the reality. Our spiritual life is going to follow one of those two approaches. We're either going to stay connected to the water, to the life that we get from the Word, by delighting in it and meditating in it and speaking it to ourselves and over ourselves, reminding us of the goodness of God and the promises of God, or we won't. And let me just tell you, the Morris sprinkler system approach is not the pathway to a blessed and happy spiritual life. You can't drop in here on Sunday and engage with the Word of God for 30 minutes and think that's enough for the week. You can't drop in and think that 30 minutes of water, 30 minutes of life is going to make you strong and healthy and vibrant. You can't do life apart from God, apart from His ways, apart from His words. And then when you feel like you're beginning to wither a little bit, run to it and all of a sudden be transformed into that big and vibrant tree. These verses tell us that we have to have constant refreshment, a flowing stream of the Word of God in our life. And look at verse 3. When we delight in the Word, when we are constantly refreshed by it, three things are true about us. And the first is this: when you delight in the Word of God, you're going to be fruitful. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That comes from here. right? From the Word of God, the words of God constantly flowing into us. You've been around these kind of people, right? Around fruitful people. They're refreshing people because the same water that is refreshing them day in and day out, the same water that is going into their heart, it is spilling out over onto you when you interact with them. Listen, these are the people whose words are encouraging. These are the people that speak life to you, love to you. That these are the people that are delighting in the Word of the Lord and their life is bearing fruit, right? And not only will we bear fruit as we are connected to the Word of life, the second thing that we read in this verse is we'll be durable, right? Our leaves will not wither. We will be able to last in the difficult conditions. Hot outside, that's okay. We've got water flowing. Drought season, that's okay. The stream of water is there constantly filling us up. The wind is blowing and things are getting rough. That's okay. Our roots run deep. We are held firm and secure but by the Word of God flowing through our life. Listen, in the good times and the bad, we'll be okay. We're going to make it. We are durable because of the Word of God giving us strength. Listen, that's real life, isn't it? Not every day is great. We walk through hard times. We walk through painful seasons, challenging seasons, confusing seasons. Man, I sat with a family this week. Unimaginable loss. Completely off guard. And they're hurting. They're in pain. They're confused. But they're going to be okay. Because night and day, they have been meditating on the Word. They've been speaking the Word of God to themselves and to one another. When the Word of God is a constant source in our life, the leaves don't wither. We're durable. We make it through those times. And not only that, right? We're fruitful, we're durable. And then finally, when we delight in the Word of God, the Bible says we're prosperous. It's right there in verse 3. What's that mean? Does that mean my business is going to do well? Does that mean I'll make a lot of money or my family will be healthy? Is that prospering when we read the Word of God? The answer is sometimes. Sometimes it is, right? And in Isaiah 64 and 2 Chronicles 16 and several passages in the New Testament as well, we read there's times where God does bless his children that way. But as we read the entirety of the Bible, we know that not every blessing looks like that. We know that ultimately God's at work in our hearts and on our hearts and for our hearts. And so as we delight in his word, we understand that we'll prosper, that our hearts will grow deeper and closer to him, even in the hard times. Romans 8:28 reminds us of that, right? We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Delight in the word of God. And the picture painted in scripture is that you will be fruitful and durable and prosperous. You'll be that strong, well-watered tree. But verse 4 paints an entirely different picture for those that are influenced by the world and not the word of God. Verse 4 says the wicked, the verse 1 people, the people that don't say no to the world, they're like chaff that the wind drives away. And this chaff, it's the opposite of the tree, right? The chaff is symbolic of something that is fruitless and rootless and useless. At the harvest, back then, the farmer would work to separate the grain from the chaff, right? And the chaff was the remnants of broken straw and husk from the fields that would be mixed in with the grain after they would harvest it. And what they would do is they would get their winnowing fork and they would stick it in a big pile and they would throw it up in the air into the wind. And the grain, because it has substance and weight and it was good, it would fall right back down at their feet and the pile of the good would be there. But the chaff, because there's no weight to it, the wind would pick it up and it would be gone, right? The wind would take it and scatter it to be seen no more. So chaff, here in verse 4, it is the perfect visual of something that is passing and something that is ultimately useless. Look at the two pictures on the screen, right? This is the word picture that God is painting for us in Psalm chapter 1, right? And it's easy, right? It's easy to see. We're called to make the choice that builds us up, not the one that dries us out and scatters us in the wind. And as we finish the chapter, that's what we see, right? The wicked, they won't be able to stand when judgment comes. There's no place for them in the family of God or the presence of God. They had a choice. And they chose the temporary pleasures of the world over a relationship with God. Choice. We use that word at the very beginning, right? Choice. We see here, One leads to judgment and loss and regret. One leads to growth, blessing, happiness, strength, stability, fruit, like a tree planted by the water. It seems like an easy choice to make. This morning, make sure that the living water is constantly feeding your heart and your soul, knowing that a blessed life, a content life, a joyful life, it comes through delighting in the Word of God. Would you pray with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.